Greetings and welcome to Educationally Speaking. I'm your host, Mark Edwards, Communications Specialist with Oakland Schools. The National School Lunch Program serves nearly 30 million children every school day. Balanced nutrition throughout the day is one of the leading factors when it comes to student success. Research has proven that school meal programs play an important role in obesity prevention, overall student health, and academic achievement. I want to welcome Lori Adkins, Oakland Schools Child Nutrition Consultant, to the show. I'm extremely, extremely excited, Lori, to talk to you about this topic. It's near and dear to my heart, having two children. Nutrition is so important, and so important for our students that attend all of our schools here across Oakland County and the country, I would say. But first, before we jump into that, I do want to hear about your background, Lori. Could you take our listeners through some of that?
Oh, sure thing, Mark. And thank you so much for having me today. I appreciate it.
So great to see you.
Oh, thank you. So this year, August 2022, marks my 35th year working in child nutrition.
That's amazing.
So the first 25 years of my career I spent as a food service director in operations. So I worked for West Bloomfield School District for 15 years. I worked in Royal Oak School District as their food service director for 3 years. And at the start of my career, I worked for South Redford Schools in Wayne County for 7 years. So then here I am for the past decade working at Oakland Schools as the child nutrition consultant. I say the child nutrition consultant because I'm the only one here, but I am part of a team of committed consultants in all areas of public education here at Oakland Schools to ensure that the districts have everything that they need to support high quality education for their students. And child nutrition is part of that commitment here at Oakland Schools.
Well, thank you for the work that you do, and thank you for sharing that background, a very extensive background. You're the right woman for the job. I know that. So having spoken with you offline, I just know that you're very passionate about this work and that it's just something that's near and dear also to your heart. So thank you for doing the work. Mm-hmm. So you've mentioned you've worn many hats throughout your career. Please fill our listeners in and explain why and how you became so passionate, one, about providing excellent school meal programs for the students here in Oakland County.
Well, as far as my job goes, it's really multifaceted. My office here at Oakland Schools is at the main campus, which I work out of about 70% of the time and within a month. And then the other 30%, I'm out in the field. I'm off-site doing trainings and workshops and helping districts out with technical assistance, things like that. So training is a big part of my job. Because all school food service professionals, you know, food service directors, managers, cooks, servers, everybody in the field is required to have professional development training all throughout the year. So that is a major focus of my job too. So at the county level, I lead monthly referent group meetings for Oakland County with the school food service directors group. And our directors group meets every month and we share resources and information together and really just keep up on all the trends and regulations and things going on in the field. Another part of my job, another thing that really makes me passionate about child nutrition is helping with our food purchasing cooperative. So our MOR food purchasing cooperative is a food buying group. We have about 190 member districts across the state actually, and they purchase commercial foods and USDA foods for our school food programs. So part of my job, this part of my job involves following federal procurement regulations for the co-op with, you know, bid management, product testing and evaluation, doing food taste tests with students, that
Absolutely.
Kind of thing.
That has to be fun.
It is really fun. So I'd say overall, there's really never a dull moment in child nutrition here at Oakland Schools.
So working with a lot of different food vendors and finding out what the best fit is for different districts, I would assume is part of that work.
And student preferences, you know, what do they like? Because there's all different brands of different types of foods, but we want to really focus in on and serve foods that kids prefer. So that's what those student taste testings revolve
around. I love that, including student voice, if you will. It's so important to let them be part of the conversation. Then they feel like they own some of it. Mm-hmm. I recall working in a middle school, and they did a great job providing fresh fruits, a salad bar, soups. And so it was kind of neat to see that because a lot of people, I don't think, understand that some of the food services that are provided to our students are so healthy and very nutritional. So
that's
good stuff. And so if you are a food service worker out there in the field and you're listening, just want to thank you for all the work that you do every single day. It's so important keeping our kids on track.
Yes, it sure is.
Lori, I want to talk about some of the public policies surrounding school and food programs. If you could inform our listeners about the recent laws and grants that may have changed or have been modified at the state and federal level, changes are happening all the time. So if you could just let us know what is affecting us locally here in Oakland County.
Sure. Well, there's been a lot of federal legislative activity related to school meal programs over the past few months. In fact, just yesterday, I attended the White House Conference on Hunger, Health, and Nutrition in Washington, D.C., where a national strategy was unveiled by President Biden himself. He was at the conference and spoke, and Secretary Vilsack. He also spoke. And the new strategy is aimed at ending hunger and reducing diet-related diseases for Americans by the year 2030. So the last White House conference on health and nutrition was held during the Nixon administration in the early 70s. So
Okay, so we were a little outdated there.
Yeah, it was a little while ago, and a lot of good policies came from that meeting. Things like SNAP, which is the food stamp program, WIC, which is a women, infant, and children food program and support, summer meals, breakfast programs, that all came out of that policy conference back 50 years ago.
And historically speaking, those are all still in place today.
Indeed they are. So this new national health initiative includes backing for healthy free meals for all students as part of the broader plan for this new initiative. So, you know, to me, it's not surprising that school meals are recognized as a primary solution in this new initiative towards ending childhood hunger. And we're hopeful for some bipartisan support from Congress as funding is established for this new program. But the, you know, as we all know, school meals were provided to students at no cost during the pandemic from March of 2020 through June 30th of 2022. But that program has expired. So those meal waivers expired on June 27th, but President Biden did sign the Keep Kids Fed Act right at the end of June, and that just provided school districts with a little extra money to put towards food and supplies for this school year for 2022-23, because as we all know, we all go to the grocery store and see how much food has increased.
The prices are high.
Increased. Right.
Yes, ma'am.
So school meal program, food costs, supply costs are astronomical, so this extra money will support that. But, you know, at this time, students still have to apply for school meals in order to be eligible to receive them for free and reduced rate. But the new Hunger and Healthy Nutrition Initiative announced by President Biden would certainly forge a path for opening up school meals for all students again at no cost. And we certainly support that and hope that that will come to be fruition in the future.
Absolutely. And thank you for representing us in Washington, D.C. Some very important work, ending hunger and helping prevent disease. I can't really think of anything more important than that.
Yes, and child nutrition is a big part of that. So, you know, it's ending hunger for all, from kids to seniors.
Absolutely.
You know, and preventing diseases for, you know, all U.S. citizens. So we know school meals is part of that solution and certainly will help us get to the finish line in 2030.
I love that. And let's hope that the next conference isn't in 2080. Right?
No
we
kidding.
Don't want
we 50 did.
Years
yes.
to go by again for that.
Indeed not.
Great. So speaking of historical context, in 1962, President John F. Kennedy created the National School Lunch Week. It is celebrated annually every October, and this year it is October 10th through 14th. Lori, what makes this such an important week for our students and for our schools?
Well, National School Lunch Week is a week to celebrate school meals, school lunch in particular. So districts across the country and the nation, they're planning special menus and decorations, and many folks will get dressed up to help the celebration and to have fun with students. And the celebration of National School Lunch Week, again, it helps to increase awareness of the school lunch program and to encourage student participation. So every year we have a theme, and this year the theme is Peace, Love, and School Lunch. So as president of SNA this year, of the School Nutrition Association, I was allowed to select the theme.
Oh, I
and
love it.
I chose this one because I love the 70s. It's just so much fun.
There's a little disco there, I thought.
Yeah,
Something going on there.
So we all just want to encourage students and parents alike that are listening to check out the social media for National School Lunch Week on their district's website and for their school cafeteria. And if your child hasn't participated in the school lunch program yet this year, National School Lunch Week is a great week, a great time to give school lunch a try.
It sounds fun. And if we can include fun in not only learning, I've always tried to incorporate it in learning in the classroom, but if we can incorporate it in all environments of our educational systems, then I think it just creates more buy-in with our students, with our staff, and everybody needs to have a little more fun, I think.
Absolutely, and especially in the lunchroom.
Absolutely, good. Yeah. So switching gears from lunch to breakfast, which is often called the most important meal of the day, and for good reason, Lori, breakfast breaks the overnight fasting period. And when I recall my education, I don't really recall breakfast being served in schools when I was a child. And so I love the fact that we are starting to address that issue. Several studies suggest that eating breakfast may help children perform better in school by improving memory, alertness, concentration, their problem-solving ability, even their test scores. So it even goes into their school attendance and their mood. You have led Oakland County's Better with Breakfast program to address food insecurity. How did that program come to life?
Well, first of all, Mark, you are right on about the importance of breakfast. It is the most important meal of the day. And in Oakland County, I would like to say all districts offer breakfast at one or more buildings. Great. In the county. So that is great. But back in 2018, we noticed that some buildings and school districts had better participation than others, even though they had high free and reduced eligibility. So what that means is that in some districts, a lot of kids qualified for free and reduced to participate at low or no cost, but they didn't.
Sure.
So that begged the question, why is this happening? So that's when Oakland Schools teamed up with United Way of Southeast Michigan and Oakland County Government to form the Better with Breakfast Partnership Initiative. And what this initiative did was create a universal free breakfast program in over a dozen school districts in Oakland County. So the overarching goal of this pilot program was to expand student access to school breakfast meals by using new or innovative service models to get kids to eat and to really to meet kids where they were in the morning. So things like breakfast in the classroom. So providing breakfast right in the classroom as kids were coming into the school building for the day, hanging up their coat, getting out their homework for the day, then they're grabbing a breakfast and eating at their desk.
Very convenient.
Yes, and you're bringing it to them so they don't have to come to school early and go to the cafeteria and all that. It's just, it's a service model that works.
It does
and it
work.
Helps
it's
improve
so nice.
Participation. And then at high schools and middle schools, we implemented hallway breakfast kiosks. So as the students were literally walking in the door, there was a kiosk like you'd see at an airport or at a mall with fresh, wholesome breakfast foods available, breakfast meals, milk, fruits, vegetables, of course, grain items, sandwiches, things like that, so a student could grab a breakfast on their way into the classroom. So making that breakfast convenient, accessible, really helped to improve participation. So the program ran from 2018 until it was interrupted by the pandemic in 2020.
Sure.
And again, the results were incredible. At all 33 schools that participated and implemented new service models, they all experienced increased participation.
That's great.
The good news is that even though funding for those paid category students that made it universal, that paid category funding has been exhausted, a lot of the school districts that started Better with Breakfast have continued it.
That's great to hear.
Now that students are back in the classroom at all districts, they've continued to provide breakfast at no cost to students this fall, and we're really happy to see that.
So important to re-implement those programs that may, as to your point, were exhausted throughout the pandemic and funding ran out. And I do love to see how school districts are continuing. Some districts are even continuing the free meals for this year, although the funding did run out.
Yes, some districts have flipped over to CEP, which is the community eligibility provision, and they certify students by the number of directly certified kids or kids that are receiving food stamp benefits. There's just a federal formula that we use, and then they can have a claim rate of a certain percentage of students' meals that they can claim for breakfast and lunch. So districts that qualify that are high, that have a high percentage of students that are on the SNAP or the food stamp program can use the CEP, community eligibility provision, to certify all students in a district to participate in the program. So districts like Lamphere, for example, Clarenceville, both of those districts implemented CEP this year, and I'm hearing great results. They're feeding more kids than ever.
Amazing and wonderful work.
Yeah.
I'd like to take a moment and say hello and thank you to everyone listening on 89.5 WAHS, 89.3 Lakes FM, radio cmlf.org. Remember, you can download the Educationally Speaking podcast on Apple, Google, and Spotify. Remember to follow and engage with Oakland Schools on social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and even TikTok. If you are a parent or guardian of a young child, our Early Childhood Team works collaboratively with Oakland County schools, families, and communities to develop a systematic approach to support the development and academic achievement of all children from birth to kindergarten. If you or someone you know is interested in free preschool, call 1-844-456-5432. That's 1-844-456-5432. I'm back with Lori Adkins, child nutrition expert with Oakland Schools. I'm just going to say expert because you are. You're so knowledgeable. You have such a great background, as you've already shared with us. And I have some exciting news that you were recently named the School Nutrition Association's president for 2022-23. Congratulations.
Thank you so much.
With that said, you represent 50,000 school nutrition professionals nationwide. That's a daunting task to add to that plate of yours. You spoke to your membership at the National Conference in July. What was your message to them, and what lies ahead for you in that role?
Well, this summer at the School Nutrition Association Annual National Conference, which was held in Orlando, I was installed as president of the School Nutrition Association, like you said, for the 22-23 school year. So it's a one-year gig. 2 years prior, I served as vice president and president-elect. So the association holds elections every year. So I was elected as vice president 2 years ago, and it's a three-year term. So this is my third year, yep, and year as president. So quite an honor to represent the association of a field that I love and work that I love as well. So the president of SNA serves as the face of the association. So I do a lot of media interviews, and I lead all the events this year, such as conferences and meetings, board meetings, things like that. And one big thing that SNA is currently working on is our DEIA initiative. So diversity, equity, inclusion, access. So in my address to the membership back in July, I expressed how important this was to me, because this is really near and dear to my heart, and how I want my presidency to create an association that reflects all the people who are involved in what we do. So I want our members, our potential members, you know, everyone in the association to look at SNA, look at our board of directors, our conferences, our sessions, and say, I see myself.
That's right.
I see myself there as a leader and as a member. I want all of our members to feel included and see ourselves as leaders and participants. So this is one of my goals this year.
It's a great goal.
Yeah.
It's a great goal.
Thank
Inclusion
you.
Is so important in education and everything that we do.
It
so
sure is.
That's a great thing. We have seen the American Standard Diet over the years include more, unfortunately, low nutrient, high calorie ingredients, contributing to high rates of overweight and obesity and corresponding diet-related diseases. Research shows that diets that are rich in fruits and vegetables and whole grains can help reverse these trends. You have experience in providing programs that include more of these nutritional ingredients. Why is it so important, and how can schools support families in the effort to move to a more, if you will, whole foods diet?
And school meals have done an excellent job over the past decade since the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act was enacted in 2012 of including more fresh fruits and vegetables, low-fat dairy, et cetera, in school meals. So our school meal programs, the meals that we provide align with the dietary guidelines for Americans. So foods offered to students for breakfast and lunch includes foods and focus on foods like whole grains, lean proteins, fresh fruits and vegetables, and low-fat dairy, so low-fat or fat-free milk. So as far as calories go, school breakfasts provide about 25% of a student's daily recommended calories, and school lunch provides one-third of a student's calorie and nutritional needs. So the nutrition standards and the meal patterns that we follow for our programs are critically important because they provide some of the healthiest foods that kids get in a day. So the kids that are eating in our programs, research shows that they are some of the healthiest meals that they are eating within a day or within the week. But again, good nutrition only comes from foods that kids actually consume. So program
sure.
operators are always looking for on-trend foods that taste great and that fit into our very limited school budgets. As I mentioned earlier, you know, food costs, production costs, paper costs, you know, supplies
sure.
have all gone up. So reimbursement rates have gone up, but really not enough to cover the true cost of running our program. So it's definitely a challenge. So schools have, you know, less than $2 a lunch, for example, to put towards food and paper supplies and the labor to make the lunch and
Absolutely.
Serve the lunch. So it's definitely a challenge, and we have to cover the cost of the entree, servings of fruits, vegetables, grains, and milk. So, you know, I go to the grocery store now, and gosh, sometimes a fresh orange is a dollar.
Right.
An apple could be 75 cents. So
one of my favorite avocado, and that's what I had before we went on air today, was an avocado, and they're $1.50 a piece. So
yeah,
everything has risen.
Yeah, very expensive, but schools continue to strive to serve those healthy meals to meet the new nutrition patterns and to meet student demand and preferences too. So I know at high schools, students like made-to-order things like street tacos,
right,
or stir-fry bowls. Those are really,
sure,
popular at high schools, and most high schools have implemented concepts like that. And a lot of schools, for the little guys, they're making charcuterie boxes or bento meals with little sliced apples and cheese and proteins like,
nice,
meats, and paired with other vegetables and milk, and to make a meal out of that. So a little snackable lunch. Kids love those.
Absolutely.
So, and I
and
have to
fun.
Say... Yeah, and they're fun, right. So I just have to mention, I got to do a shout-out for schools, because they do such a remarkable job offering fresh fruits and vegetables each day. Most schools have fresh fruit and vegetable bars that kids can help themselves to accompany their meal with.
And we're getting creative with our decision-making, as you know, we have to be more cognizant of the budget and of the cost. And so you also mentioned earlier the large buying of Oakland County. If you could kind of elaborate on that a little bit, let our listeners know what that means exactly when we're buying for the larger county rather than just a school district itself.
Yeah, well, we pool together our purchasing power and we put out a bid on behalf of all of our members. And, you know, our bid is about $32 million a year. So when we purchase as a group, our prices are lower. And in the state of Michigan, in order to receive your USDA foods or commodity foods, school districts receive those foods through a purchasing cooperative. So you got to be part of a cooperative because federal money flows through that co-op. So we monitor that money and make sure that everybody gets their fair share based on the number of meals that they serve each year. So
to make this relatable for a household, and I don't want to plug any specific business or anything like that. So instead of going to a Kroger or a Meijer, it would be like going to a Sam's Club or a Costco, and you're buying in larger quantities to just drive that cost down.
Yeah, and what we have is an awarded distributor. So we have some broadline distributors that partner with us, and they bring the food in from the manufacturer, and then the broadline distributor, the food companies, then deliver those foods directly to the school district. And that helps save districts a ton of money every year on overheads and supply costs.
Great work. According to schoolnutrition.org, 1 in 7 children in America live in a household without consistent access to adequate food. That's an estimated 11 million children dealing with food insecurity. What are we doing to bridge that gap to ensure that we're meeting students' nutritional needs, I guess even after the school day now?
Yeah, and there's a lot of ways to address that. So as I mentioned earlier, during the pandemic, school meals were provided to all students at no cost. And now school meals are a critical component of the White House National Strategy towards ending hunger for kids. So I believe students should have no cost access to food at school if they're hungry. That should just be part of the school day. Hunger lives in every school district, and until really we address it as a nation, some kids may continue to fall through the cracks. So, I mean, like transportation, books, technology, other schools and supplies, services are provided to students to support learning. So I believe school meals should also be available to all students as part of the school day to support them as well. School districts, expanding breakfast programs, increasing accessibility for breakfast, making sure at lunch that you've got a good variety that kids want to participate, and then districts participating in the Fresh Fruit and Vegetable Grant Program. That's a good way to introduce more fruits and vegetables to students, and those fruits and vegetables are utilized as a snack throughout the school day. Some districts also do after-school snack and supper programs, and they incorporate after-school activities or tutoring programs, and they feed students after school with those programs. Now, some of those programs, especially the fresh fruit and vegetable and after-school supper program, have a qualification piece to it. So you have,
sure,
to have, you know, high free and reduced eligibility in order to qualify to run those programs or to participate in those. So not all districts qualify, but for those that do, it really helps reach those students and meet their nutritional needs.
Very good. You are a very healthy and vibrant person. What are some of your favorite foods that help you get through your day? Kind of a lighter question.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. So for me, it's all about portion size and moderation. So otherwise, I pretty much eat what I want. And I always go by the adage, if you can half it, you can have it. So if you have a food that you really like I love cookies. So never do I eat a huge cookie. I'll always take a piece of it. And I'm good with that. But as far as like some of my favorite foods, I love fruits and vegetables. I eat a lot of whole grains in my diet. My favorite comfort food is lasagna. I like to make lasagna. So for those of you listening, if you know who you are, you've received lasagna from me as a comfort gift. Anyway, I hope that's
in my future.
Because I love to cook. I love to share food with people. I love to eat as well.
Very good. Yeah. Some great advice there. Smaller portions. Fresh fruits, fresh veggies.
Yeah, and focus on those. Making half of your plate fruits and vegetables is really big for me. And in other people, that's part of the food guide pyramid as well.
I was going to get to that a little bit. I recall the food pyramid when I was in school. And then as an educator, I believe it switched to my plate.
Yes, it did switch to my plate.
So where does that come into play? Would that come into play with portion size and specific foods? It certainly does.
So my plate is an icon-based food. It used to be the food pyramid. It was shaped like a pyramid. They added some activities and things to focus on and things to limit.
You can Google that if you'd like.
Yeah, you can Google that if you like. But you know, the My Plate icon is it's really simple. It's a picture of what your food should look like. So that My Plate shows half of your plate with filled with fruits and vegetables, another third of the plate being filled with a low fat protein, and then a little side of milk and some whole grains. So that's an ideal meal if you're going to be eating a meal to structure you're eating in that way. So that started as a reflection of the dietary guidelines back in 2010 when those dietary guidelines were updated and the Obama administration introduced that new My Plate icon, and it's really a good reminder for all of us.
Very good. Before we break for lunch, is there anything else that I may not have asked you that you would like to share with our audience, maybe a resource or two?
Oh, wow. I always encourage people to go to schoolnutrition.org. We have a lot of information about school meal programs there on our website. And we'd love to have host your child in our school cafeteria to participate in lunch or to participate in breakfast if you haven't already this year. It's a great program. And I just, again, want to give a shout out to all the school food service professionals out there that work so hard making sure that kids have healthy food each day so they can learn.
Very good. Thank you, Lori. Lori Atkins, Oakland Schools Child Nutrition Consultant. I want to just thank you for being our amazing guest today.
It's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Calling all motivated high school students enrolled in an Oakland County School District. The Oakland County Accelerated College Experience may be the right fit for you. Students accepted into the Oakland ACE program can earn as much as an associate's degree or up to 60 credits for transfer. There is no cost or fees to the student or family for tuition, books, or any of those required materials. Visit oaklandace.org for more information. Our four Oakland School technical campuses are designed for students who want to graduate from high school with industry certifications, on-the-job experiences, business connections, and college credits. If you or someone you know is a high school student who desires cutting-edge, hands-on learning and want to explore careers, not just jobs, visit ostconline.com. I once again want to thank Lori Atkins for being our guest today. If you have a show idea, question, or comment, or want to get recognized as a listener of the month, we'd love to hear from you. Drop us a line at educationallyspeaking@oakland.k12.mi.us. That is educationallyspeaking@oakland.k12.mi.us. This podcast was brought to you by Oakland Schools Intermediate School District's Communication Services. You can find all episodes of Educationally Speaking on our Oakland Schools website at oakland.k12.mi.us and anchor.fm. We hope you will continue to tune in as we discuss topics that affect every student every day.